Well, good morning. Yes, as Blaine mentioned, this is our final Sunday in a 13-week series. We've been 3 months now on this theme of Christian lifestyle, looking at Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. So one more, that's this morning. Let's pray. We do come to you. Thank you that the way is open for us to draw near and call upon you and know that you are hearing us. All because of Jesus. And Lord, we want our lives to be gripped and led and ruled by you. And we know that's the happy way for us. So pray to use this morning to move us in that direction for your name's sake. Amen. So in the book of Ephesians, in the second half of that book, there's a word that appears five times. And it really has reference to Christian lifestyle, what we've been talking about all these weeks. The word is walk. So here are those five verses in Ephesians 4 and 5 that use that verb. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Chapter 4, verse 17, Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Chapter 5, verse 2, And walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Chapter 5, verse 8, For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. In the Lord. Walk as children of light. And finally, chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So walk. We're to walk as believers. What that means is, it's referring to a way of life. Walk basically equates with live. Live your life this way. It's a lifestyle. And we've been looking at that for quite a few weeks. The idea of walking as a believer is a rich picture. It's a metaphor, and it has a lot of suggestiveness. There are many different modes, different ways that we can walk. We can walk soberly, or we can stagger and lurch. We can walk with our eyes open or with our eyes closed. We can walk blindfolded. We can walk on a broad path. Or we can walk along a precipice. We can walk by the light of the day, or we can walk under a moonless night sky. We can walk carefully or heedlessly, wisely or recklessly. We can walk alone. We can walk with other people. We can have encounters along the way as we walk. We may meet other travelers on the same road, and we can ignore them or engage them. We can help them or harm them. So walk. We are walking, but God in his word fleshes that out in a variety of ways and gives us a way of walking, a lifestyle that is uniquely Christian. We're going to look at one more aspect of that this morning and read chapter 5, verses 11 through 18. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So in that passage, we have a contrast between the old life and the new life, the old life of the flesh, the new life in the Spirit. And there's mention made of the unfruitful works of darkness that are done in secret, but then the voice of God cries out to us, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So the light expels the darkness, and we have new life in Christ. And that's what gives rise to the Christian lifestyle that we've been considering the focus of our last 3 months here. Key verses this morning, verses 15 through 18. There's a series of three directives here. All three of them have the same format. Not this, but that. So, look carefully how you walk, it says. Not as unwise, but as wise. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So that gives us a quick overview of how we are to walk in Christ. We are to walk wisely, to walk in wisdom. We are to understand the Lord's will, and we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And really, these three all point in the same direction. Walking in wisdom equates with understanding the will of the Lord and is the result of being filled with the Spirit. Here's our focus today. Wisdom. What it is, what it isn't, how we get it, and how it becomes our walk. Back in my wilderness hiking days, invariably, I would walk with a trail guide in my pack. And similarly, more recent decades, on walking tours with Dottie, we would have detailed route guidance, a trail guide or just information on our route with directions, distances, elevations, landmarks to be watching for, points of interest. In the backcountry, campsites, water sources, just what lies ahead. Here's the thing. In our Christian life, we don't have a trail guide. We have the Bible, indispensable, precious. Can't live without it. But the Bible is really not a trail guide for the Christian life. As we walk, our way is full of surprises and uncertainties. And we don't know in advance all the twists and turns that we will encounter along the way. We don't know even how far or how long we'll be walking. It could all end tomorrow morning for any of us. So our future, to a large degree, is hidden from us. And God does have a plan. He has a plan for your life, but to a large extent, it's hidden. It's secret. He knows it. You don't. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So the secret things, that would be God's sovereign will, His plan for history, and also His plan for each individual life, including yours. The things that are revealed, God's revealed will, that would be His word, His spoken word. And we can know this, and we need to know it, and we need to embrace it and pursue it, always in relationship with Him, with God Himself. And that's the focus of wisdom, His revealed will. So, here's a starting point. What is wisdom? I've got five statements here. Take your pick. I don't know that you need five definitions of wisdom, but maybe one of these will particularly help or be useful. Wisdom is the ability to practically apply the will of God. Wisdom is moral skill to understand and apply God's commandments. Wisdom is competence in connecting God's commandments with specific life situations. Wisdom is making decisions and living life in accordance with God's revealed will. Wisdom is skill in the art of godly living. Wisdom needs to be distinguished from information. Wisdom works with information. But information is not wisdom. We live in the information age, where we have billions of pieces of information available to us at our fingertips. I did a recent search, just for the fun of it, on Thompson Barn Lenexa, and I got 34,700 results. So I did another search, this one on Meghan Markle, and I got 50.3 million results. In case you don't know, Meghan Markle is now the Duchess of Sussex, married to Prince Harry. I did a third search on Yo-Yo Ma, famous cellist, and I got 108 million results. And that took all of 0.56 seconds. The age of information. It's not hard to come by these days. A bigger challenge is locating information that actually is relevant, helpful to our walk through life. To sift out information that is useful. So, information is not hard to come by. Wisdom is much harder to get at, and yet it's essential for our journey. Here's a summation, simple summation of God's guidance for our walk through this life. Trust God and be wise. That's all there is to it. So we should have that down. Trust God, be wise. And I want to talk some more about what it looks like to be wise. That's our particular focus this morning. God does not provide a detailed, personalized trail guide or route map for your life, but He does give guidance. Here's a helpful tool, I think. I got this from an author, James Petty, whose book titled Step by Step is a helpful discussion of guidance. So in this diagram, we have three concentric circles, and just step through these. The inner circle represents things prohibited by God's word. So these are black and white issues, and obedience is required in all situations. There's an example in the passage that we looked at already this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. Do not get drunk with wine. That is in this realm of things prohibited. And there are many others that are familiar to us. Don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't gossip or slander, and so forth. And this realm of God's guidance does not particularly require wisdom. It's just clear cut. It's black and white. And we don't need to necessarily pray for discernment, although it would be good to pray for help and strength to obey. That's the circle of things prohibited. The next circle outward, the middle circle, is the application of positive commands in God's word. Some examples of this would be to love your neighbor, honor your parents, give generously, show hospitality, serve, rejoice, pray, and there are many more. But let's just take as an example God's command. It's a positive command, love your parents. That's not so black and white. What does it look like? There's so many variables that could play into that. Key variables would be, how old are you? And are you still living at home with your parents? You answer those questions, and then there's still a bunch more questions to consider. But here are some possible applications for that command to love your parents. It could mean obey them, especially if you're a 12-year-old still living at home. It could mean pay attention to them. It could mean show them respect. It could mean, I should say it does mean most of these, it means serve them. Appreciate them, communicate with them, seek their counsel, remember them, care for them. And I got to live out, or observe, actually lived out in front of my eyes a few years back, I think a beautiful example of this command, love your parents, lived out. And that was with my wife as she cared for her mother in the last years of her life. We had her move in with us. And then Dottie honored her mom. Her mom could no longer communicate, could no longer locomate. Move, walk. But Dottie was there as a caregiver, and she would talk to her and have, you know, just extreme patience and just honor her in untold ways. So God's positive commands, such as honor your parents, are anything but black and white. There's this whole realm of application, and to live it out requires wisdom. It requires the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. It requires wisdom, because what does it look like? It could take a lot of different forms. So positive commands of God. They may have a monochrome appearance. It sounds so simple. Rejoice, pray, honor your parents. The application of God's positive commands, though, we could say is polychromatic, multicolored. A lot of subtle gradations and variations. Finally, the third circle in this diagram, the outermost circle, would be matters of Christian liberty. These are matters of conscience, where we have freedom. God has not said, thou shalt not. And he hasn't said, thou shall, either. It's just out there, areas of Christian liberty. So we face many decisions daily where God calls us to exercise freedom. We have choices between equally good alternatives. Should I wear black socks today? I did. But I had a choice to wear navy socks. Should I plant tulips in my garden, or should I plant daffodils? Should I order the broiled salmon on the menu or the gourmet mac and cheese? Should I take my daily walk around Lake Lenexa, or should I go along the Mill Creek Trail? Often, matters of liberty intersect with God's positive commands. So what we think is liberty may not be total liberty. Here's an example. Let's say I have this idea of going on a weekend camping trip with my four grown sons. Actually, five. I miscounted. So, it's a matter of liberty. God doesn't say, thou shalt not go camping over the weekend with your sons. It's not prohibited by Scripture. So, let's go camping, right? I have to ask, though, how does this idea intersect with, how does it connect with God's command to love our wives? Would disappearing for the weekend compromise our responsibilities to our wives and children in five different households? So, yeah, maybe. What that means is that this decision falls then into the middle circle, the circle of God's positive commands, where wisdom is required. And in that particular example, I probably wouldn't have to think very long to cross the weekend camping trip off the list of wise possibilities. Unless we arranged it ahead of time with our wives. There's another factor that governs matters of Christian liberty, and there's always the question of motive. What is my motive? For example, in making decisions about how to dress, I can dress for God's glory, or I can dress for my own. I can dress to gain attention, or I can dress to serve others. There's a guideline that always applies in areas of Christian liberty. And Paul states it, the apostle, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, he says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And in that context, he's talking about matters of Christian liberty. Whether you eat or drink or go camping, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So there's wisdom required for areas of Christian liberty, because we can have the wrong motives in practicing our freedom as believers. We need to give attention to all three of these circles in order to live a life of wisdom. Some Christians, this happens with some Christians where they focus primarily on what they shouldn't do. The focus is on the inner circle of things prohibited. And so we think we can live that way and think that we're obeying God's commands, thou shalt not do this or do that. And it's all very clear cut, which means it's pretty simple. It's simpler than entering into the realm of wisdom, the application of his positive commands. The positive commands tend to be open-ended, and they do require wisdom, and so they're harder to apply. Believers sometimes can have a tendency to neglect those commands as a result. The consequence is an impoverished life. An impoverished life. Don't think that if you are towing the line on, you know, keeping the rules, obeying God's commands of prohibition, that you are walking in wisdom. Far from it. In Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, we get a far more engaging view of the will of God. This is where Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So this is a very appealing portrayal of the life of obedience, the life of wisdom. Transformation, mind renewal. The will of God here is described as good and acceptable. Other translations say well-pleasing. Also perfect. There's an invitation there to walk that way and enjoy the walk with God. Here's an illustration I think that might help. Picture a honeymoon couple. They've just gotten married. They've reserved for the first night, the wedding night, the finest room in the airport hotel. They come to the room, they open the door with anticipation, and they enter in, and they are surprised to discover that it's a smallish room with a rather compact bed and very few furnishings. What's up? They call the front desk to find out whether they had the wrong room number or if there's a mistake. No, that's the right room number. And they complain, but not too much, because they don't want to create a big fuss on their wedding night. So they decide to rough it. And they go into the small room and they spend the night there. The next morning in the lobby of the hotel, as they're getting ready to check out, they see a picture advertising their room. And in the picture is a familiar looking door. And they realize that door, which they had never opened, they just assumed it was a door connecting their room to another different room. They realized it's the door leading to the main part of their honeymoon suite. They rush back upstairs, they fling open the door, and they walk into this huge, gorgeous room with all the amenities that they had been looking forward to on their wedding night. So there are flowers, there's a fruit basket, There's a bottle of wine, crystal wine glasses, baked goods, no longer quite so fresh. There's a big screen TV. There's a huge walk-in shower, bathrobes. I don't know what else to think of, but you get the right idea. They had been in the right room, they just hadn't opened the door to the main part. They spent the night in the bare-bones auxiliary room. What's this an illustration of? It's not connected to anything. That small room that they spent the night in would correspond to God's prohibitions. Thou shalt not. That limited sphere of God's word that tells us what not to do. Open the door into that lavish, abundant room that they never saw. That would correspond to God's positive commands, where we have the opportunity to apply with wisdom and grace what it is He's telling us to do. So, the realm of God's positive commands, not just prohibitions. This is how we can especially make the best use of our time. Make the most of the opportunity by taking hold of God's positive commands and living it out with wisdom. It takes wisdom. The alternative is passive living. And if we enter that door and start taking hold of the positive commands of God and exercising wisdom in applying them, then it becomes an adventure, a pursuit, and under the controlling influence of the Spirit. So you can walk into a room full of people and ask God, ask yourself, ask God, how can I encourage and build up these people here in the next few minutes? Or you can show up at work, at the office, or at your workplace in the morning, and you can ask yourself or ask God, how can I work heartily over the next hour and through the rest of the day? And the answer is not narrow. It's not clear cut. It takes wisdom and it takes the leading of the Holy Spirit to do it. Proverbs 10:23 says, "Wisdom is like sport to a man of understanding." Like sport. Or it's pleasure, it's delight to the man of understanding. Consider the love commands in Scripture. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. Love one another. Love your enemies. Husbands, love your wives. I think that might be all. Love. Love is this huge realm of exercising God's will, His positive commands, and it's not at all clear-cut how it plays out, what it should look like. How do we know what to do to love our neighbor or love our wives? The answer is wisdom. And so wisdom is this realm of creativity, this realm of adventure, you could say, where we step into God's will in a more lavish pursuit of what will please Him. There's room for creativity and energy and initiative and inventiveness. That's the way He calls us to walk. The richness of wisdom comes through His Spirit's work in us and through us. So verse 18 of our passage in chapter 5 of Ephesians, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That has everything to do with walking in wisdom. A key work of the Holy Spirit in you is to help you personalize and apply God's word so that you will be led by the Spirit. All right. Here's how we'll close. 6 guidelines, pretty simple guidelines on growing in wisdom. How can you grow in wisdom? How can you invest in a wise future? And there's a list of practices here that I want to step through. The first one is to desire wisdom. To desire it. You need to desire it in order to grow in it. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8. Prize wisdom. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Similar Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. Seek wisdom like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Here's a scenario. Imagine someone comes to you tonight and says to you, I've got an offer. I'll pay off all your bills. If you have any bills that need paying off, I will pay them off for you. Also, I will give you money for vacations, several vacations each year. I will also buy you the house of your dreams, anything less than 6,000 square feet. Plus, I will buy you any car you like. All of the above. Or, here's your other choice. I can make you wise. What would you choose? You know this is a setup, right? What would you choose? If you fear the Lord, you'll take wisdom. Desire wisdom. Secondly, know the word. In Psalm 19, verse 7, we read, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So his law, his testimony, his word make us wise. There's a lifestyle implied here. It's a life of transformation. It's a life of knowing God. As we invest in the Word, as we get the Word in us and begin applying it with wisdom, then His thoughts become our thoughts. His ways become our ways. His affections become our affections. And we love what He loves and we hate what He hates. And that's where we want to be with our walk in Christ. Thirdly, pray for wisdom. Wisdom is not natural. It's not something we're born with. It's the gift of God. And so, James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 4, exhorts us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And there's a promise. And our expectation should not be that we pray and then later that day we get wisdom in abundance. It may not come the hour of asking, but it comes as we continue asking. And it's something that may come gradually, but steadily in response to our prayer. Pray for wisdom. Fourthly, associate with the wise. Proverbs 13, verse 20 exhorts us, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So, simple question, who do you hang with? Who influences you? Number five, seek counsel on questions and decisions. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And then chapter 19 of Proverbs, verse 20, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. To put it simply, you know, Christians, all of us, we would do fewer dumb things if we talked more with one another. And certainly that includes younger ones seeking counsel and wisdom from older ones. And I want to encourage that. Finally, number six, ponder your death. And some of you are thinking, that sounds very unhealthy. Scripture recommends it. Ponder your death. Keep your death in view. We tend to just push it away. We don't want to think about it, obviously. It's not attractive. It's not a morbid thing to ponder your death. It's actually healthy and orienting in regard to our walk. It helps to purify our priorities, and it's, as I said, recommended in Scripture. So, Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Keeping the end in view, not blanking it out, avoiding the thought of it, but keeping it in front of us can help us to get a heart of wisdom. Similarly, in Psalm 39, verse 4, O Lord, the psalmist says, O Lord, let me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Teach me how fleeting life is. That awareness helps you be wise. The conclusion is that God calls you, every one of us, to walk in wisdom. To embrace wisdom as a way of life, your lifestyle. And to have that desire and commitment to pursue wisdom and apply it in your life. As I said, with energy and creativity, and it becomes this adventure, this way of imaginative and creative life as we learn to respond to His instruction. So that means asking for it, it means keeping His word in focus, and it means keeping Him in focus. May that be our heart. Let's pray. Yes, Father, thanks for calling us to this new life, this life of a well-lit path, though we don't necessarily know where it leads even today or tomorrow or the next. Thank you for speaking in ways that help us know how to go and where to go. And thank you for the gift of wisdom. I pray, Lord, you would give us desire for it, and that we would increase in wisdom. And pray in Christ. Amen.